Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and the scripture lessons are from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Today's message is titled, Love on Display. Hear the word of God from James chapter 3, beginning at the 13th verse. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Here ends our first lesson, our Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning at the 30th verse. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and Adam stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Here ends the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love, and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. 20 years. 20 years have passed. It's hard to grasp that 20 years have passed when Heather and I and a great group of adults took a group of teenagers from Tuscarawas County, 1,200 miles west, to the Sioux YMCA, Camp Marrowbone. Many of the teens had never traveled much out of the county, let alone leave the state. 15 hours the first day to get west of to the west side of Iowa, and the next day another 8 hours to the camp, turning off the highway and following the dirt road, winding around farther and farther into the wilderness, the three vans, with excitement of arriving and lots of uncertainty as to what we will find. We came to serve in preparing the camp for summer use. Jumping out of the vans, a short line formed by the outhouse. Greeted by the camp director, we set about getting ready to stay the week out in the middle of nowhere on the shores of Lake Oahee. First priority was to get the kitchen organized to prepare our first meal there, supper, in a few hours. Second priority was to get situated, the sleeping arrangements. Cabins needed cleaning, bunks needed to be sorted out. Driving 25 hours over 2 days, and the first things to do was push some brooms. Somehow we managed to set in order the kitchen and the sleeping rooms. Small though they were, several selected to sleep on the picnic tables under the outdoor shelter, as the indoor sleeping space was rather limited. If you'd like to know more about that experience, you can ask my wife Heather, who enjoyed the picnic shelter, picnic tables every night. Next morning, the work would begin. And work the teens did. Small though they were, several then work and work the teens did. Cleaning, painting, tearing down the old outhouses, cutting grass. They worked so hard and did so well that arrangements were made to have 30 tons of gravel delivered to rebuild the pathways between the buildings. The dirt there turns to gumbo when it rains, sticking like glue to the shoes, building up in a huge, muddy mess. Midway through the week, the YMCA invited us to the main buildings in Dupree, South Dakota, to have showers and also enjoy an Indian taco meal. They would cook for us. The appreciation of us coming and working so hard to bless the Lakota children of the Cheyenne River Sioux, along with being a real eye-opener for the teens of Tuscarawas County, Ohio, whose hearts were moved by the mission work, moved through the 10 days that we were away from home, with a focus on caring for others. Do you focus more on yourself or your own needs, your own wants, your own desires? Or do you see others and deep inside you feel a pang to make a difference? Traveling from building to building at the camp, we raised a lot of dust with our feet. That's the meaning of the word servant here in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, raising dust with your feet. Mark chapter 9, verse 35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." Servant in Greek is diakonos. Diakonos, a compound word from dia, meaning thoroughly, and konos, meaning dust. Put those two parts together, the word diakonos probably properly means thoroughly raised up dust by moving in a hurry so as to minister. So eager to serve when given a request, kicks up the dust. One kicks up the dust, jumping into action. That's what that word means. You jump into action so fast you kick up dust. Can you imagine yourself moving 30 tons of gravel with shovels and wheelbarrows? That is exactly what the teens did. And then carefully, as they were painting the buildings, they had to paint around the artwork that was on the storage shed. And then taking down the old outhouses and that mowing of the 5 acres of grass with a 22-inch push mower, about 3.5 horsepower push mower. It seemed to die every 10 feet because the grass we were mowing was 2 to 3 or more feet tall. Normally they burn the grass out, but it's so dry they couldn't. So we mowed inch by inch and row by row. That's what we did. Our actions were bringing about a turning in the children, in these teens' lives. It was turning them from the so often look at me to look at what we've done together. Done not for us. We would only experience a transient benefit of the couple of days of the camp. No, these things were done for others, for the Sioux YMCA and the Lakota children who would come to Camp Marrowbone. What would be dramatically changed if all across the world people would lay aside the desire of being the greatest and first, before and above all, above everyone else, for all others to look at and all others to serve you, to the focus of being last and servant of all? In other words, coming to hearts across the world the desire to express the fullness of divine love. For love does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking. As it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, it teaches us there. What would we look like? What would life look like if selfishness went by the wayside as love for others came to the forefront? Along those dusty roads of the regions of Galilee all those years ago, Jesus was putting into words the wonder of his great love for us. As once again he's teaching the disciples, he was going to suffer. Mark chapter 9, verses 30-31. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Jesus, he's going to suffer. He's going to be killed. And on the third day, rise. The disciples did not understand. And they were afraid to ask Jesus to help them understand. Instead of learning the lesson of love Jesus was teaching, in its place, their conversation turned to themselves, puffing themselves up. Who is the greatest? Who is the most important? Appearing to take no notice of the words of Jesus' coming suffering and death, whereas Jesus would serve to meet the deepest need of humanity, forgiveness. A while earlier, after Peter confessed Jesus was the Christ, as written in Mark chapter 8, Jesus began to teach the disciples the Son of Man must suffer, as it's written in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. So this conversation on the dusty road of Galilee that Jesus must suffer and die has been spoken about many times before. Over a period of weeks, possibly over a period of months. Jesus in Mark chapter 8 was transfigured. Jesus in Mark chapter 9 was transfigured before Peter, James, and John while they were there with Jesus high up in the mountain, seeing Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus and even hearing the voice of the Lord God, the Father. "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him!" Exclamation point. Yes, listen to him! Exclamation point. And they, disciples, after hearing for at least the second time here in Mark chapter 9, Jesus is going to suffer. He's going to die for them and the sin of all people. The disciples focus on who is the greatest. I doubt if the conversation went, "Oh, you must be the greatest," or "You must be the greatest." I doubt if the conversation went that way. More than likely, "I am the greatest." Another piped up, "You, ha, 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 not you, I'm the greatest." And you can imagine just how the commotion rose from that. "You the greatest? Oh, no way, I'm the greatest." Mark chapter 9, verse 33 and 34. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. It's clear Jesus knows what the disciples were arguing about on the road. The evidence is Jesus said, and he spoke about being first, last, and serving. Jesus asked the disciples what they were arguing about to give them the opportunity to come clean and answer. A teachable moment of what being a follower of Jesus, a follower of his own, should become and look like. For just as Jesus came to serve, his followers are to serve. A little later in the Gospel of Mark, in response to James and John's request to sit at his left and right hand, Jesus says, it's written in Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." These things belong to love and grace, seeking to welcome seeking to serve, so that in you they see Christ. How many of today's youth and young adults would fail to recognize the name and even know of the actions of Mother Teresa? It's been nearly 25 years since Mother Teresa went home to her Lord in 1997. How many of today's young adults and youth know of her humility shown through selfless service to the least of these in India? Mother Teresa illustrates the true wisdom James speaks about in chapter 3 of books, James chapter 3. James contrasts true wisdom that comes from above and the false wisdom of the earthly realm. False wisdom is seen in envy and selfish ambition that leads to disorder and every evil practice, for false wisdom is of the devil. As it's written in James chapter 3, starting at verse 14, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice." In contrast, true wisdom, James chapter 3, verse 17, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." What kind? What kind of wisdom is prevalent today? Recently commenting on current culture, Ben Carson said, "There used to be love in our society. We had a Judeo-Christian foundation which said, love your neighbor. Now you're seeing a situation where we say, hate your neighbor, cancel your neighbor if they don't agree with you." What kind of wisdom says, hate your neighbor, cancel them? From above? No, from below and of the devil. It is written in James chapter 3, verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility, in the humility that comes from wisdom." The word translated as life in the Greek is a compound word, ana, meaning down to up, and strepho, meaning turn. Turn. So down to up, turn. Properly upturning, which figuratively means change of the outward behavior from the upturn of inward belief. And so the inside is now being turned up to look to things above, to things of heaven and good. And the outward behavior reflects that upturn that has taken place inside. The Greek word good, translated in this verse, means, and it's an outward sign of the inward good, noble, honorable character. That attractively good, that good that inspires and motivates others to embrace that what is lovely, beautiful, and praiseworthy. Doing all things well so as to be winsome and appealing. So this good life, this good that your life has turned to deep inside because of Christ, is now being shown outside for all to see. James uses these words together, good life, to demonstrate what true wisdom is. Wisdom is seen in what one does. Wisdom seen in how one uses moral reasoning. It's similar to what James writes in chapter 2. "I will show you my faith by what I do." In James chapter 3, "I will show you my wisdom," where it comes from, either heaven or from below, "by what I do." James chapter 2, "I show you my faith by what I do." James chapter 3, "I show you my wisdom by what I do." good life, deeds done in humility. The word, Greek meaning of the word translated as humility is mildness, gentleness, emphasizing a divine origin. That word meekness, that gentle force, that gentle strength. It's used in the New Testament to describe believers. Humility is the gentleness flowing from the Lord's inspiration, and it's finished by the Lord's direction and by the Lord's empowerment. Divinely balanced virtue that can only operate through faith. Humility that shines through Jesus Christ is living in you. That's the meaning here. Mother Teresa lived life through the love of Jesus in her, giving her that humiliated which radiated power much larger than a height of just under 5 feet tall, causing the world to listen and pay attention to her. By serving the least of these in India, the untouchables of India, Mother Teresa was being the servant of all, bringing out for all to see love on display. The love of Jesus. As it's written in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Learning the lesson of last and servant of all, it brings out the best of love on display. Yes, learning the lesson of last and servant of all brings out the best of love and puts it on display for all to see. Mark chapter 9, Jesus speaks again of his coming suffering where the most grand display of love ever given would be put forth. Yes, Jesus willingly laying his life down for us. For us, the ones deserving the full burden of sin. For us, Jesus took on himself and he bore the burden of sin. For us. Though we deserve the full wrath of God, Jesus, for us, received the full blast of God's wrath that we rightly deserved. For us, Jesus suffered and died, displaying such humility, such meekness, such goodness. It was love on display. Love for us. Jesus became last. And servant of all. For us. You may wonder how a YMCA came to be so far west on Lakota land. After a war in 1862 and an attempt to retake their lands in Minnesota, a large group of Dakota warriors were captured and sentenced to hang. President Lincoln commuted 120 of the younger men. 38 warriors, though, were hung from a single scaffold in Mankato, Minnesota. It was the largest single execution in U.S. history. The rest who had their death sentence commuted, the death sentence set aside, they languished in military prison. Volunteers, though, came to them. Volunteers from the Young Men's Christian Association. Young Men's Christian Association. That's what YMCA stands for. Visited these men, meeting their physical needs of clothes and bedding, along with teaching English and the Christian faith. The compassion of these YMCA men, these volunteers, made a lasting impact and impression. When these Lakota were released in 1879, these men started a young man's association back home. Chief Little Crow's son was one of the men who started the association. In 1885, this association was recognized by the National YMCA, and the name was changed to the Sioux Young Men's Christian Association. Compassion, humble service, as it's written about in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 36. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The king will reply, that's verse 40. Now the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So this puts into focus our daily life. Our daily life in that call to put on love, full display. Christ's love on full display as Jesus showed on the cross, serving us, meeting our deepest need. Father, forgive them. We are to do the same. As James describes, let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. As Jesus teaches, be very last and servant of all. It is not easy. No, not at all. It's not easy. Still, do it. The apostles learned the lesson to serve. They gave their lives so others may know Jesus the Christ, suffering greatly, serving all the more. So you and I learn the lesson of last and servant of all. For it will bring out the best in you. It will bring out the best in you. For Christ's love will be on full display through you. Amen. And amen.